Mark, welcome to Lexington.
Well, it's good to be back in Lexington. I have performed at the Church King of Christ, Catholic.
Christ the King?
Yeah, Christ the King over at the Oktoberfest. Mm-hmm. I think for 3 years I did that, and I really met a lot of nice people here. It's good to be back here.
We have a lot of fun here.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, there was people trying to get us to drink moonshine out of a trunk in the Catholic Church's parking lot. And
so, you can always count on the Catholics. You know what I'm saying?
And they were gambling bingo downstairs, and then there was really great music.
Was it the bishop?
I don't know. I'm not naming names.
A lot of things to talk about. We want to talk about your newest album, your musical past, present, future, all of that stuff. But let's go ahead and find out what this new CD is about, Many Colored Kites. Tell us about that one.
Well, I made the CD with a Norwegian woman by the name of Ingen Ringvald, and since we wrote most of the songs out of the country, we started to think about people with different cultures and how they interrelate with one another, kind of what a lot is going on in the world right now with the internets and the Facebooks and the MySpaces, where people are talking to each other and they're realizing they're not so different. They have a lot in common, that they hope for the same things in their lives. And that was kind of the background to, you know, some of the lyrical writing and things of that nature on the record. She, in the meantime, is in Norway because she was unable to get into America to perform on the record. They became aware that she was a musician and you have to have a certain type of visa to get on a stage in America, and she was unable to obtain that. So these guys stepped in and have been doing a great job, and I've just enjoyed the heck out of playing both in Europe and America on this record.
Who came up with the title, Many Colored Kites?
It's one of the songs we'll be performing that second, and that was kind of the idea that there's a lot of different types of thoughts, cultures, even you can take it down to the level of food and beers and all sorts of things to experience out there in this world. And in general, I think it's good to have an open mind. I've tried to do that, though, as my mom would say, we all get stuck in our cow paths from time to time. That was one of her, I would never forget that, you know, anytime you would get in the habit of doing something over and over again, she would point that out, that you don't want to be doing that.
So basically, you're getting your inspiration from just about anywhere.
Well, yeah, and I get it from my mom, actually, and my family. They're probably the biggest ones. It's the things you learn when your mind is open from the age of 6 to 12 before it becomes closed. But I think that I still retain probably the most things from that period.
What about this song you're going to play first,
It's
Beehive? What is this one about? Tell us.
This song is called Beehive. And it's a true song out of my life where I saw a bunch of killer bees actually form what do they call that?
Swarm.
A swarm in something called the Tree of Life. There's a tree in the desert called the Tree of Life. So they formed a swarm. I walked right by it. It was, you know, somewhat threatening and things of that nature. But at the same time, I thought it was an interesting idea. Later on, I was in a place called, I was touring, and I was in Belgrade, Serbia. In this church, they have a famous cathedral called St. Mark's. I go into this church, and I look inside there, and there's a beehive in the perfect replica of this church. It's their most famous church. It took this man 25 years to build this beehive. And it's unbelievable. It's a working beehive in the shape of a church. It's about as big as your stereo console right there, in you know, 3-4 feet high, 7 feet wide. And it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. So I took a picture of that, and I felt kind of good about that, that, hey, I wrote a song called Beehive, and here it is sitting in this church. And basically the song would be about those kind of things, long-lasting attention to the important aspects of your life.
So we're going to listen for the influence of the Tree of Life and a church in the shape of a beehive.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, everybody. This is Mark Olson, Mike Russell, and Ray Woods live on 91.3 WUKY.
The Tree of Life, the one you need, the volunteer that grew now seems a beehive. Won't you be the one to tell me all our time is calling and where to begin? Won't you be the one to tell me all our time is calling and where to begin? light your lamp, your lamp goes out, and kerosene spills on the ground behind. There I ran across the field, a thousand reasons start beginning in your song. There I ran across the field, a thousand reasons start beginning in your song. Bring you lilac wine. Bring you lilac wine. Something I can do. Is there something I can say for you? Beehive, beehive. And what we see has been before, and what will come, your vandals dropped a beehive. Can you see another side? To live right, my love, you've reached across the sky. Can you see another side? To live right, my love, you've reached across the sky. Bring you lilac wine. Bring you lilac wine. Something I can do. Is there something I can say for you? Beehive, beehive.
Live music on 91.3 WKY. It's Mark Olson, well, along with his buddies Mike Russell on violin and Ray Woods, drums and percussion. Sounds great, guys. Sounds wonderful, as a matter of fact. Beehive from Many Colored Kites, and we heard where the inspiration came from, the Tree of Life with a swarm of killer bees and the church in the shape of a beehive. But I heard something in there that made me wonder. You said something I can bring for you.
Yeah.
Who are you talking about? Who
is there
that?
Something I can do? Is there something? Well, that would be like the hopes that we give each other. You know, the bees represent something that's somewhat dangerous. They can sting you. So you have this hope and this thing that can sting you at the same time.
Okay.
The tree of life is something you hope for. Mm. It became a beehive, so it's something that can hurt you at the same time. So these things that we go out and do in our lives, mm-hmm. especially when we're young, you know, I mean, I went out and I just loved music so much, and I hung out in all these blues bars, and to be frank, it was dangerous, you know? And so I look back on that, and I kind of have those thoughts, and when I'm saying, is there something I can do for you, I'm sort of thinking, if there was someone in the same shoes that I was in at that point in my life, I would say, hey, you know what you should do if you want to play music? Go to the University of Kentucky and enroll in the music program. Don't go hanging out in these blues bars I did. So, you know, I think there's a lot of ways to go about doing something. And for me, the easy way was to hang out in blues bars because I loved the music so much. But at the same time, it was funky.
By the way, Mark Olson, along with Mike and Ray, will be at Natasha's tonight. You can find them information about that concert at our website, wuky.org. Where do you write your music? Do you head off to a quiet room? You find it back of a bus, or just anywhere, anytime? When do you?
Well, I write it in a way that I have events happen in my life, and I make note of them. So these things happen, and I try to remember them. And then I will go outside. For the past 4 or 5 years, what I've really tried to do is I go outside. I go outside and sit on a bench in a park. And something about that, having just people walking by, and kind of distracts me, and I just start playing, and I usually come up with one figure, a figure on the instrument, and then I just try to start singing about the ideas and things that have happened to me.
So it's the chords first before the lines.
I try to have one figure, one musical figure, thing that, you know, like on this next song, I have this one figure that I start out with on the dulcimer, and then I just kind of keep expanding.
Tell us about the original Harmony Ridge Creek Dippers, Mark.
Yeah, that was, we had a really good time. We made 7 records in 7 years.
When was that?
That was, that would have been, the first record was in 1997. I think we actually put it out in 97. I remember that being on there. And... Okay, comments from the back.
Somewhere back in time.
And we did 7 records in 7 years. The last 4 were put out by first we put them out ourselves. And at that time, that there was a lot of independent music stores. And we actually made a living doing that. We would sell them direct to the independent music stores. And we did really good with the first 3. What kind of got a little crazy for us was then trying to manage a small record companies. We put records out with a Glitter House in Europe and ended up touring a lot over there. And we never really were able to bridge the gap from doing it ourselves in America to having a record company in America. We never quite did that because we were recording things ourselves on a small tape recording system at home and doing it all ourselves. And I think by that time, everyone had gone Pro Tools, and we had gone backwards to more like field recording. And so it struck people as... being very primitive. And in a way, we might have been a little bit ahead of our times because all this psychedelic folk, we had a real psychedelic folkie in our band, and her name was Victoria Williams. And she would play the banjo through all kinds of effects and was sort of a jazz bow too, where she would make up songs on the spot. It was just a completely musical experience, but we never really were able to get any recognition in America, a little bit in Europe. So that's about the Creek Dippers.
Tell us, I mean, the obvious question, tell us about the Jayhawks.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the Jayhawks for a minute.
Well, that's what I was talking about earlier. The real point where the Jayhawks became a group was when we were trying to play in rock bars. But there was another part of town in Minneapolis that had all these blues bars. There's about 4 of them, really, in this neighborhood. It's called the West Bank. And you could walk between the bars. And there would be all these people that had played on Bonnie Raitt's first record. I mean, really some good bluesmen. And they lived
What city was this?
This was Minneapolis.
Okay, go ahead.
And they lived like bluesmen. They would talk about where they lived, where they would bunk down. That was their crib. You know, they had this whole lingo. And so it was fascinating to me. And Kernaray and Glover, who had been around at the time of Bob Dylan, were still there. And that guy... Tony Glover gave us our first shot at playing in those bars. He said, okay, these rock guys are okay to come over here and play in our special blues, folk, country world. So when the Jayhawks went over there and started to try to play a little more country, mixing up with, you know, this rock music that we were more accustomed to, that was where the strange mix came together of... you know, the harmonies like the Leuven Brothers, getting into the band, being a little more roots kind of a group. And we mixed rock and roll with roots, and it happened there on the West Bank of Minneapolis. And that was really the genesis of the thing. You know, we came down to Louisville in the early days, and we played some crazy shows at these bars. And, you know, Louisville was a party town back then, and so there'd people be up all night. And, yeah, we just had a lot, you know, in the early days is just about getting in the van, going and playing, and you'd get so excited about playing, you just couldn't stand it.
And I didn't know. I mean, I know Dylan's from Minnesota.
Yep.
But when you say Minneapolis, somehow I just don't think, you know, a whole line of blues bars. I think Prince and Madonna. I mean,
yeah, well, they're there.
There obviously is an incredible music scene in Minneapolis that we're missing out on.
Yeah, well, this came out of the hippie era. where there was some folkies, you know, Cafe Extempore, that's where a Bob Dylan got his start. And right nestled around that area were all these hard-drinking blues bars, and they would have music every night. And they'd get guys up from Chicago, and at the same time, there was homegrown players that were really good, and they did record Bonnie Raitt's first record there, and there was some top-notch stuff. There was some songwriters there.
Dave Ray, Willie Murphy.
It's like any scene, every town. I know that Kentucky has a number of great bands that have come out of here that maybe they don't break nationally, but all the people in their town knows them and loves them. So that's the way it is.
We want to hear more from Many Colored Kites, and you got your dulcimer. You're plugging that in. Tell us, you said you got that from Kentucky, mail order?
No, from Ohio or
Ohio?
Kentucky. It's well, we can look here. It's a McSpadden, and oh, I'm sorry. It's Mountain View, Arkansas. I mail ordered it, and I had started playing the dulcimer a couple years ago, and the main problem with live performance with the dulcimer that it's too high of a tone and there's no body to it. So I looked around and I found this one, and it's called a tenor dulcimer, and it's tuned down at a lower pitch.
Know anything about John Jacob Niles?
Yes. I wish that I had one of his records. I've heard a lot about him, and I've heard that he sings really crazy. I need to.
Hey, man, you got a dulcimer. You got to get one of his records.
Do you have one?
I can find one for you.
Can you?
I guarantee it.
Really?
I know there's one in this radio station somewhere.
You're kidding me.
This station's been on the air for over 70 years, so.
If you want to sell that, I'll lay some cash.
Really?
On, yeah.
Are we allowed to do that, John? Check with the FCC on that. But, yeah, we're going to hear another one from Many Colored Kites, your second solo record, and you're going to play the title track. Tell us real quickly what this one's about,
it's
Mark.
This is what was the genesis of the record, is Many Colored Kite. Was Ingen and I talking about how it was that two people from two different countries were going to write and sing songs together, and we went out into a park and kind of came up with this one, and this one is really fun for me to play, and it's a little bit crazy. I hope Ray sings along. You going to sing along back there, Ray?
I believe I will.
He's looking at his new birthday presents back there.
So here we go. You guys ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Sky's dust through our window, in what will be, in what we're meant to see, be he, you can be. Ain't talking about any rivers you can see. Now Johanna takes us to the well and holds our hand, pouring water, pouring water, pouring water down. Will you go our way through this life? I can say the words to tell you of a many-colored kite. Red clouds shake our buildings. An orchard song, a lover's word, be he, you can be. Ain't talking about any rivers you can see. Now Johanna takes us to the well and holds our hand, pouring water, pouring water, pouring water down. Will you go our way through this life? I can say the words to tell you of a many-colored kind. I can say the words to tell you of a many-colored kind. Of a many-colored kind. Of a many-colored kind.
It's Mark Olson with Mike Russell and Ray Woods. Real quickly, Mark, where'd you find these guys? What's the story behind these
friends of yours? Mike Russell was on the West Bank, that part of town we were talking about, and I ran into him in one of those bars 20 years ago.
The dangerous bar.
So he's a man of danger. And then Ray Woods has an interesting background. His parents were in the military in 29 Palms, California, so he grew up out there. Mm. And he's played music his whole life. He played the drums in church. And I ran into him. He was playing at an open stage at a cafe called the Beatnik Cafe in Joshua Tree, California. Mm. And I thought, this guy's got a beat. He can keep a beat. He can sing. Maybe he wants to travel around and, you know, be in a band when I get some gigs. And so I've brought Ray over to Europe. And so we've known each other 7 years, maybe eight, something like that. Maybe more. It was 23 you were on.
Somewhere back in time.
Yeah. So we're approaching 10 years. I don't like to think of it like that.
Mark Olson along with Mike Russell and Ray Wood.